Testing, testing. Those of you that are tuning in online, we'll be starting here at 6 o'clock promptly. We are having a baptismal service tonight. We invite you to tune in, so just hang around, and we'll be starting up here in just a few minutes.
I don't know. I hadn't figured out the time limit, but I was hoping I could leave around 7:15.
7:15?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be out here way before that.
Okay. What are you going to sing, man? What you going to sing?
Praise Him, praise Him, 227.
220. Praise Him, 227. I think I'll get out of here in time.
Oh, yeah. We'll get you out of here. Easy.
Yeah. Time is about 3 minutes after 6.
I'll ask everyone to get their hymn books, please, and turn to number 227. We're going to sing all three verses of Praise Him, Praise Him. Number 227. Blessed Redeemer, sing, oh, worthy is wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory, strength and honor, give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever. prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious, fire and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Daddy, open us with a word of prayer, please, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, welcome and good evening. Glad to have all of you here in the Lord's house on this Sunday afternoon, or Sunday evening. The 314th day of the year it is. We ain't got much left in this old year. But it is coming to a close, Lord willing, that we all get through to the end. We don't know when our day will be, but the main thing is be ready. Be ready to meet the Lord. So, either by death or by rapture, either way. All right, so by way of announcements, don't forget, coming up Wednesday night, we have a 5 o'clock Q&A. If you have a question, we encourage you to ask those questions. My brother David asked. We had a two-parter that just come out of thin air, and so we had a good time with that. Also, 6 o'clock, our evening worship service. Also, Sunday, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship service. Then following the morning worship service, we have our church Thanksgiving fellowship meal. So we have a sign-up sheet. A lot of folks have signed up to bring stuff. So maybe you don't have a lot to bring. Well, you can bring your appetite. We need people here to eat, so that way all the food won't go home with the people that made it. Also that Sunday, we're asking if you have a little bit extra to throw into the offering plate. We're looking for a Thank God for My Church offering, a Thanksgiving offering. So if you have that, you want to put that in, that'll be great. November 18th, Monday, Men's Fellowship. We'll meet here at 6 o'clock for our devotional time of worship, and then we'll go to Fujiyama, a place we always like to go to and give them support. Food of the month for the pantry is powdered mixes like Kool-Aid, lemonade, stuff like that. Bring that in if you'd care to. Next care meeting will be December 4th at 5, so that Wednesday night we will not have Q&A. We will have care ministry. Having said that, do we have any prayer requests on our heart tonight? Any prayer needs? Anyone? Brother Phil? Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? How about unspoken? I know we have those on our hearts. Amen. All over. Amen. All right. How about praise report? Anybody have a praise report tonight? Anybody? Amen, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Anybody else? That's right. Yes, it wasn't our preacher friend in Arkansas. It was his sister-in-law's brother, another Michael Perdue. So, amen. I know there's no other Creighton Loveless. I know that. I do know that much, as far as I'm aware. Uncle Junior, yes, sir. No way. That's right. You are. That's right. Yes, sir. James Creighton Loveless Jr. That's right. And senior and great-great-grandpa Adam Creighton Loveless. They call him Crate. And I guess if they called me Crate, I'd be in a crate and probably shipped off to Abu Dhabi or somewhere. I don't know. But anyway. Also, don't forget, we had 75 people come through for our trunk or treat and one dog dressed as Wonder Woman. We had 10 who helped and a lot of folks who gave candy and of their time to help us out. So we appreciate that a whole lot. Let's see. Any birthdays or anniversaries? Anybody else? No? Okay. Not standing up longer, growing older. Okay. All right. Well, we are waiting on Brian's mom, right? Coming on in? All right. All right. Just in a few minutes. So we will have another hymn. And then we will go ahead and move back, and we will proceed with Brittany's baptismal, and then we'll move into Brian's as well. So hopefully she'll be here by that moment. If not, we'll just enjoy the water.
Get your hymn books again, please, and turn to number 411. We're gonna sing the first, second, and last stanzas of 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
You may be seated.
Okay, Brittany and Brian, if y'all want to come on up, we'll head on back, and then we will get started.
Say, I've never seen a preacher walk without a shoe. You know, God told Moses, put off thy shoes and walk thy feet.
Okay.
424.
Oh, 424.
Yes.
We're going to what?
He said, we're going to get it started.
Okay. Very good. Very good. I can get out of it.
Yes, sir.
Before I get started, there is a message I'm going to bring here shortly, and I want to illustrate something to you. This is my wedding band, my wife and me. If I were to take my wedding band off, does that mean that I'm no longer married?
No, sir.
No, that just keeps all these ladies at bay saying, I'm married. Happily so. I've had the privilege in 15 and a half years of being pastor, of baptizing, I don't know how many people, it's been quite a few through the years. One man was so tall he had to get on his knees, and I had to baptize him that way, and he scraped his big toe. But I'm also a former mother-in-law. I didn't even hold her under either. And also a former boss lady that I used to work for, and I got to baptize her. So baptism is an ordinance of the church. Jesus, as we understand the word teaches, that he gave us two, the Lord's Supper or communion, and then also baptism. And baptism does not save us. There is a baptism that saves, but it is completely dry. And you're going to hear about that one tonight. But it is a special and unique honor to baptize one's own wife. Now, you'll see that we do things a little bit differently here at Danieltown. And so, with that being said, Brittany, do you believe that Jesus Christ was born on the Virgin? Do you believe that he lived a perfect, sinless life? He never sinned by fault or demon. Do you further believe that he went to the cross on Calvary and he died for not only all of your sins, past, present, and future, but also for the sins of the world? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead, bodily, soulless, and spiritually? Do you believe that he's coming back to take his church home? Therefore, by commandment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I greatly love you and your pastor, baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. This is the fun part. Next!
What you get there, though?
One year, the heater went out on us, and it was nice cold. And every time we did another baptism, I asked the lady, do you want to be baptized again? It's warm. And they said, no. Well, the burn owens, do you believe that Jesus Christ was born in the Virgin? Do you believe that he lived the perfect sinless life, never sinned in thought or deed? Do you believe that he died upon the cross for all your sins, past, present, future, and those in the entire world? Do you believe that he rose again bodily, soul, and spirit from the grave? Do you believe he's coming again to take his own home? Therefore, my dear brother Brian, as your pastor, I therefore baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son. I've always wanted to preach in here, but I don't think I can tonight either. So anyway, Brian's going to come up, and if you'll sing an offertory hymn, we'll take up an evening offering. If anybody has anything, be careful on those steps there. And then Daddy's going to mop up the water trail, and I will be back as quick as I can. And we will start our evening service. Our service.
You know, twisting the bass.
Yeah, what number?
447. I'll ask everybody to get the hymn books again, please, and turn to number 447. We're going to sing the first, second, and last stanzas of Trust and Obey. Walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I'm gonna ask Junior if he would come forward and take the night off. Y'all may be sick. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Lord, thank you for these baptisms, Lord, that took place here. Lord, we just pray for all people that accept you, Lord. Lord, we don't have an easy life, but Lord, you've loved us enough to die for us, that we should live for you. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the offering that was taken here. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And I'm going to sing an old song tonight. Guy used to go to church here. And this is one of Rex's favorite songs, The Old Ship of Zion. I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, and I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life could see, but that old ship was sailing steady. Is that the old I see at the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion. It will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my troubles and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
Thank you. All right, beloved. Let's grab our swords now, or our Bible, and turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. David had to go to a visitation. Will you be careful, brother? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. That sounds good. We don't require you to stand or read out loud. Just follow along in your copy of God's Word. The Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious and holy word. We ask now that you'll open our hearts and minds to your truth. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and for your glory. Amen. The story is told to us about the baptism of King Angus by Patrick, better known to most of us as Saint Patrick, who was not, by the way, an Irishman, but he was actually an Englishman. Irish pirates came and kidnapped him and took him away to Ireland, where, long story short, he finally came back to his homeland, and then he decided to go back over there to Ireland for all the Irish pirates were, and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Now, we don't know if he drove out the snakes or not, but anyway, there it is. So anyway, in the middle of the 5th century, that's when King Angus lived. Sometime during the ritual of baptism, St. Patrick leaned on his sharp-pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king's foot. After the baptism was over, Patrick looked down and saw all the blood, realized what he had done, and begged the king's forgiveness. He said, why did you suffer this pain in silence? The saint wanted to know. The king replied, well, I all thought it was all part of the ritual. Angus didn't know any better. He didn't know any difference. Now, this message is a little teachy-preachy, if you will. In the Bible, there are 7 different baptisms. 4 are real, 3 are ritual. There's the baptism of Moses, the baptism of the cup, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the baptism of fire. 3 ritual, which all include water, are John's baptism, Jesus' baptism, and believer's baptism. Now, we don't have time tonight to develop the doctrine of the baptism. Rather, I aim to bring this teachy preachy message so we can hit some major points about which baptism. Something that is important is baptism, and it is many times misunderstood. The doctrine of baptism is a basic doctrine. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 say, "Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." That word means completion. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." So again, we note from the Bible, all of these are basic doctrinal tenets. And we are admonished earlier in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote down, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Sadly, that is the result of many Christian, many church folk today. They spend so much time caught up by the things of the world that they have no idea what the basic tenets of what they say they believe in this old King James Bible. They have no idea what they believe, because they're all too tied up with everything coming and going inside of the world. That's what Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." So let us check up, beloved, and make sure that the things that we savor, that we enjoy in life, are not the things that are of men, but rather are the things that are of God. And that includes even inside of the church. There are a lot of things that men and mankind has put inside of the church that really don't go there. Baptism is not one of those. Baptism is something that Jesus himself told us about, taught us about. So first of all, let's look in Matthew 3:11. Now what this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is speaking here. People are questioning him. They are looking at what he's preaching. He is preaching about repentance unto baptism. People say, well, where did John learn how to baptize? They say, is this the Jewish mikvah? So if you look, a lot of time, if you go back to the Jewish rituals and you are to understand Judaism, if you go back to the temple and such things, that's the menorah of Hanukkah, not the temple. It has six, that has eight. Anyway, so we're not talking about Judaism by any means. The mikvah, the ritual cleansing that they talk about, is where you would have the laver. You would have the altar of burnt sacrifice, and then you have the laver. And so we don't know the dimensions of the laver. It's never delineated to us in the book of Exodus, in the book of Leviticus, Numbers, or even Deuteronomy, or even inside of 1 Kings when Solomon lays down the blueprints and ideas about how to build the temple from that he received from his father David, who in turn received that from the Lord himself. So this is not the ritual bath of the mikvah. Some people think that's what it is. But John received this from the Lord. This is not something that come out of Judaism. This is something that come down from God himself. And so what I want to key you into right here is John says in Matthew 3:11, if you look back in your Bible, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Now what I'm going to do is, this is speaking about his, John's baptism, which is different from ours. It was even different from Jesus's. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this out of context, I'm going to shake the context off, and I'm going to apply it. Some preachers don't ever tell you that, but I am. I'm not going to try to mess up your mind here tonight. So anyway, when he says baptize you with water, I want to apply that to believer's baptism tonight. So, believer's baptism. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." Now look at this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I'm bringing this out for a reason. I told you this is going to be teachy-preachy, so just bear with me. Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now this shows very clearly, beloved, that there is a marked difference between receiving the gospel and being baptized. Because some people like to say that you have to be water baptized to be saved. That's not true. I'm going to show you again why in just a moment. According to the book of Scripture, however, water baptism is an important first step in following the obedience to the commands of Christ. We see that Jesus was baptized in Matthew
chapter 3, verse 16. Again, that is a different baptism than John's baptism. Because remember, when John baptized people, I will throw this out for you. When John baptized people, it was unto repentance. That means turn from your sin. Now, you know and I know. If you don't know, well, you come to the right place to know. Jesus never sinned. So he was not baptized unto repentance. He had no sin to repent of. And for anyone to say so, that is heresy, and it is false doctrine. And if any preacher ever says that, he ain't a preacher of God. He is of Satan and of the devil himself. And so, beloved, we see that that means that Jesus' baptism was a different baptism than even John. And furthermore, we cannot follow the Lord into his baptism because that was all alone by itself unto him. So anyway, that baptism, they are baptized in his name, the triune, the Trinity formula. You know, looking about the Trinity, that's what we're, and we'll see that here in just a minute inside the Great Commission. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. People say, well, I don't understand the Trinity. I think that's three gods. It's not three gods, it's three in one, so I don't understand that. Well, don't try to wrap your head around it or else you might explode and then they'll have a real big mess to clean up afterward. And so the thing is that the Bible teaches that in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 4, verse 6, in the Shema, that our God is one. God is one Lord. The reason that we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Ghost, is because the essence of God, the characteristics of God, what makes God up, is all the same. And that is why when that essence is divided into three persons, that's one thing the Bible makes very distinctly clear. When you look at the baptism of Jesus, very clearly, it shows the Trinity. And Jesus, that is the second person of the Trinity, when he was baptized, went up straightway, that is immediately out of the water. That means he was not sprinkled, he was dunked in the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father spoke from heaven, the Son came up out of the water, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, came down in the form of a dove. That's the Trinity right there. You cannot deny that the Trinitarian and the triune God is not part of the doctrine of the Bible. It is. But we don't worship three gods. But anyway, it is one God in three persons, in three forms. Let's take just for a moment my daddy. My daddy is a son. He is the son of James Creighton Lovelace Sr. and Pauline Elizabeth King Lovelace. He's also a husband. Well, he's a widower, but he's a husband. He married Susan Dolores Lee back in 1972. Okay, too far back. Okay, anyway. And so he was a husband, but yet also he is a daddy. He became a daddy on December 15, 1981 at 11:56 p.m. I remember that because I was born then. Anyway. No, I read it on the paper. That's what it told me so. Anyway, so he is three different offices. He is a son, he is a husband, he is a daddy, but he's not three different people. He's three in one. And furthermore, when you see in nature the fingerprints of God, there are trinities all around us. Think about time. Time is past, present, future. Height, width, depth, matter is in three substances, liquid, gas, and solid. You see, trinities are all around us, telling us that, yes, there is a God. So believer's baptism, then, is the act by which a believer in Jesus Christ chooses to be baptized in order to do what? To give credence, to give testimony of his faith. Some people in ancient times, they called believer's baptism credo baptism. That comes from the Latin word for creed, indicating that baptism would be a symbol of a person adopting a doctrine or creed. Remember this in order. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, Peter says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is trying to get out the fact that the gospel is for the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then, now watch this. In Acts 2:41, look at the order. Then they that gladly received his word. So they got saved. They heard the gospel. They got saved. They received the word. Then what? Received his word, were baptized. They heard the gospel. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they get baptized. And the Bible says in the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine people getting together, and then 3,000 people getting saved, and then having a baptismal service of 3,000 people. Glory done to God. But you see, people also, like our Catholic friend, they think that there is a certain thing the Bible teaches called infant baptism or pedo or pedo baptism. Now, you need to check your Bible. If your Bible does not have the following verse, you need to get a new Bible. I would recommend highly the King James Bible. Then you say, well, I don't understand it. We need to get a new one. Well, how about this? I don't understand William Shakespeare at times. But you know what? I'm not going to update Shakespeare because if I update Shakespeare, I don't have Shakespeare anymore, do I? You got quiet out there. All right. So that's why we had English teachers. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? You know, remember that scene? Let's see, where is it? Oh, yeah. Alas, for your ick, I knew him well, you know. Or my favorite, Macbeth. But anyway, however it is, you were back in school and you didn't understand all of that Shakespearean stuff, and the teacher told you what these words meant. It's the same thing with the Bible. The King James Bible is the only Bible that will command you to study to show thyself approved a workman unto God, which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, that is, rightly interpreting the word of truth. You cannot get to the meat and the meaning of the word of God without study. You can read the Bible through in a year, but did you really understand what you read? Or did you McDonaldize your Bible reading and just to say, well, I read my Bible nowadays? Or did you really get what it said? You got to be saved to understand the Bible. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. And so it is, getting back to the point here, not trying to chase a rabbit, Philip had joined himself to an Ethiopian eunuch, and he is preaching the gospel right now to him in verse 35 in Acts chapter 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture in Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. Do you know that you can go inside the Bible, Old or New Testament, and preach Jesus out of those books? Because Jesus is the subject of the entire Bible. If you ain't talking about Jesus, you need to find yourself a new preacher and a new church. Because Jesus is what it's all about, my dearly beloved. It ain't about me. It ain't about us filling up our church. It ain't about us filling up our money coffers. It is all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the Son of God, always has been God, always will be God, and is the second person of the Trinity, and he's coming back to establish his kingdom upon this earth one of these days. He says in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you have a Bible and it has deleted verse 37, you have a wrong Bible. Because if you have a Bible that deletes verse 37, then it's going to go to verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. According to that, without verse 37, the only thing you need to be baptized is water. But then what the Bible says, Philip said in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, notice what he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, he didn't say join the church. He didn't say kiss the Pope's big finger or fat big toe. He didn't say get good friends and be buddy-buddy with the preacher and go play golf with him on Saturday. He didn't say that. He didn't say give $1 million to the church. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. A child cannot believe. A little baby, that one right there, he cannot say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's innocent. He cannot frame the words to say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is beyond his understanding. That's why the Catholics deleted that verse. They didn't like it. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, the eunuch said, and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's it. No flowery words, no these and thous and thines. Just I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A simple what? Profession, a confession of his faith. These biblical examples show us that baptism usually immediately followed conversion. Nowhere did Jesus teach that baptism would save anyone. At the Last Supper, what did he say? Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. That's the cup that he's going to have to go through. The crucifixion. Faith and the power of his shed blood. The finished work of Christ on the cross is required to make guilty sinners right with God. Romans 5:8-9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Acts 16:30. The jailer, he says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It is faith, 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 faith. In other words, nothing you do and I do is going to be good enough to get us in the heaven portal. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't be good enough. It was you get there by your good look. Well, I'm out of the running. Well, if you ask my wife, she'll say otherwise. But I'm out with that. No good looks. Oh, well, when God gave out looks, I thought he said books. Phil, I should be the best looking man in the whole world. I love books. But anyway, when God gave out ears, I must have thought he said beers. And I didn't want any of that. That's why I can't hear half the time. But anyway, moving on. No extra charge. So the thing is this, that not of works of righteousness which we have done. You see, think about this. If baptism were required for eternal life, why didn't Jesus tell the penitent thief on the cross in Luke 23:43? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Huh? Where did the thief get off the cross, get baptized, get dunked, and go back on nail on the cross? He didn't. He had faith alone and Christ alone. That's what he had. Galatians 2:16 clarified the fact that nothing we do can add or take away from the finished work. The finished work, Jesus said, it is finished. What is finished? Tetelestai in the Greek language, if you want to go down the Greek geek lane. Tetelestai means the work is now finished, that the results will continue on forever. Which means that anybody that comes after that point, they're going to have, if they believe in that finished work, they're going to have eternal life. That's what the scripture teaches us. It is finished. What is finished? The work of Christ on the cross. Go back and look at it. The first statement of Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. While they were there and they were nailing him to the cross, he kept saying that, Father, 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 forgive them. They know not what they do. What does that mean? He was in fellowship with the Lord. That means he was spiritually alive. Now, you go up to 12 o'clock. What happened? Psalm 22:1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice it is a singular thou. Thou is singular. He didn't say ye, which is y'all. He didn't say that. My God, why hast y'all forsaken me? No, he said, why hast thou, singular, one God? Why didn't he use the Trinitarian, holy, holy, holy? Because God the Son at that point became sin. Every sin you have ever committed, past, present, future. Every sin that has ever been known to man except for one, the unpardonable sin. What's that, preacher? Dying without faith in Christ. That's what it was called to the Jews when they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They were ascribing unto the Holy Ghost the workings of Satan, which means they didn't believe in what he was trying to woo them to the gospel. They did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that Jesus took all our sins upon him. The Bible says, for he that knew no sin, that means he never sinned once in his life. Do you realize that it has been estimated by some people that 40% of Baptists say Jesus sinned just like I do? You know what? If that's your Jesus, child, that ain't the Jesus in the Bible. And you better get the right Jesus, because my Jesus, according to this book, never sinned a day, a month, a any second inside of his entire life. He was a human being, but he was not sinful like you and I are. He that knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin. That's why in the book of Isaiah it says his visage, his face was marred. If you looked at him at 9 o'clock and then at 12 o'clock looked at him, you would not know it was the same man because of the effect of sin. So God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, turned their back on him. That's why in 1 John it says that there are three which bear record in the earth and in heaven. And one of those things is the blood. Do you not recognize that the blood talks? He said, preacher, you're crazy. No, the blood speaks. What did he talk? What did God talk about back in Genesis chapter 4? The blood of Abel crieth out unto me. The most righteous, the most perfect, the most sinless blood ever shed was the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. He shouldn't have been up there. You and I should have been up there. But he took our place. He took our place up there. In the place of anyone and everyone, whosoever will, whosoever will, whosoever will. That means there's freedom of choice. And so it is from 3 o'clock, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Now he goes down. He says, I thirst. He goes down there, and then he says, it is finished. And then he says, Father, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. That means, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Now, my God, he can't call him Father. Why? Because now he's spiritually dead. He's been cut off from God. He died spiritually. He was separated from God, and he took our hell on the cross on Calvary. And you know what? There's people out there today There's some popular preachers and even women preachers out there that say that Jesus went down into hell and was suffering and was tortured down. Let me tell you something. No, he was not. He did go into the heart of the earth. He was down there 3 days and three nights. But he was not in hell suffering. You know why? Because he said on the cross, what? It is finished. What is finished, pray tell? The finished work of salvation. That's why you and I cannot add anything to it. If you say you can, you are going against the authority of the infallible, inerrant, perfect, holy word of the living God. And you do not have that authority. He said, do not add to, do not take away from. I have no authority to add to the perfect canon of Scripture that God inspired and that God preserved. He said he would preserve his word. Not some bunch of Catholic, not some bunch of Protestant. He said he would preserve his word in Psalm chapter 12. And you know what, folks? I'm as bold to say this. If God cannot preserve his word, then what makes you think he can preserve your rotten soul from hell? If my King James Bible has mistakes and errors in it, I'll close it up, I'll burn the thing, and I'll leave Christianity, and I'll go out and I'll become a heathen. That's how much I believe that Bible. It is perfect because it is of God, not of man. And the preacher, you're making some bold statements. It's our time! We stand upon the promise of God. Stop being weenies and stop being cowards. And stand up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You want to know why our country's gotten a hellhole in the mess it's in? It's because we, the Christians, we, the church, have been too quiet on the holiness and the righteousness of God Almighty. Just to please some old sinner out there and get them into the church and rub their little wallet back there. Let me tell you something. You want to rub my wallet? There ain't no genie and there ain't no money coming out of it. My wallet don't work like that. Yours might, but mine goes to the bills and a little bitty thing here and there to maybe make my wife happy and me happy from time to time. But you see, folks, the church is compromising, compromising, compromising. But the thing we dare not compromise is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't add to it, beloved. And so it is, knowing that a man, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Water baptism then is symbolic. The believer's baptism is symbolic. Of what? Look in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, notice likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. In a nutshell, what Paul's saying is this, is that when you got baptized in water, you're illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And that when you come up out of the water, you already are supposed to be saved. And then you go in to illustrate that you're saved. And then from there forward, you should live holiness. You should live righteously unto the Lord. Now, if you think that you go in that water and it's going to wash away all your sins, you got another thought coming. All you did was you got all wet. It didn't do you a blessed bit of good. But I told you earlier about a baptism that will save. That's the Holy Ghost baptism. Notice John said in Matthew chapter 3, he said, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, this spells it all out right here. The Apostle Paul says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now you got some out there that say, well, you know, when you get saved, then you got to get baptized, and then you got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You got to beg God and plead God. Oh, God, please give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost that I may have evidence of signs and speaking in tongues. You know what? If you're going to speak in tongues, you got to have an unsaved Jew present with you. Otherwise, you can't do it. And furthermore, inside of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and memory showed me right, it said, let the women keep silence in the churches. And that is directly speaking about tongues. But you see, the folks who believe in tongues nowadays, they don't look at that. They don't understand that. They talk about the unknown tongue. The unknown tongue is in italics. Unknown, and it means a foreign language that you don't understand. And you know what that foreign language was? It was saying something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 28 said, for men with stammering lips would he warn that evil and perverse generation. What was he warning them? That in 70 AD, Jerusalem's going to be wiped out and destroyed under Titus the Roman general, and it's going to be wiped out. The judgment's coming. Why did the judgment come? Because they rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the one that saved. Note 1 Peter 3:21. Notice this. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that again. I told you this is going to be kind of teachy-preachy, so bear with me. Notice it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now to what baptism then does that refer? It is not water baptism, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a real baptism. The water baptism is a ritual baptism, beloved. Now, I believe in water baptism. I believe in immersion. That's the proper mode, because that's what the Bible teaches. However, the important thing here is to see that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is what puts you into the body of believers. Notice he says, like unto, the figure, like unto. See, that's symbolism. That's symbolic. And then he says, not the putting away the filth of the flesh. That is, it's not just by water. For that will not put away the filth of the flesh. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is, a faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which brought the work of the Holy Ghost into your life and then regenerated you. Because if you don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, you ain't got the true gospel, folks. You got to believe that he died and that he came alive again. But then, notice what he said. He said, I indeed baptize you, Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, last point, then we'll go to the house or to the chicken coop or wherever we go. The last one we've looked at, so number one, we've looked at believer's baptism. Number two, we've looked at the Holy Ghost baptism. Now, number three, we're going to look at the unbeliever's baptism. But you say, but preacher, I thought, and with fire, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. Well, let's go back to the day of Pentecost. The token, the cloven tongue has a fire. Notice it says in Acts 2:3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. It is important to note there what the Bible just said. Like as of fire. It didn't say cloven tongue of fire. It said like as of fire. What does that mean? That means the fire wasn't really there. It looked like it. It appeared like it, but it wasn't really fire. So the Bible says, according to John the Baptist, Jesus will baptize and with fire. Literally. Not symbolically. So, what was he speaking of? Notice here. We notice that the gospel passages in Mark and John speak of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But only Matthew and Luke mention the baptism with fire. The immediate context of Matthew and Luke is judgment. Look at Matthew 3, 7-12 and Luke 3, 7-17. The context, Mark and John, is not of judgment. In the context of Mark 1, verses 1 through 8, and John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. Now, we know that Jesus is coming back at the second coming. And we know that after the millennial kingdom is done, Jesus is going to judge. And what is he going to do? He is going to sit upon his throne in Matthew chapter 7. Here it is. I'll read it for you right out of the text. Jesus says himself, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name, now watch it, done many wonderful works. And notice what Jesus said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Where are they going to go? Into the everlasting fire, the lake of fire. He's going to baptize them. Baptize is from the Greek word baptizo. And it means to identify with or to make one with. And so all these lost people burning in hell, they're going to stand naked and alone before the Lord. They're going to say, but please let me into heaven. Look at all I did, God. Look at everything I did for you. In your name, I did this and that. I built the church. I gave land to the church. I gave money to the church. I even helped the widows and the orphans. I did all these things. I did these wonderful things. All in your name. And I said, depart from me. You didn't work enough. No. He said, I never knew you. is a relationship with Jesus, folks. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire, the everlasting fire. And then according to the book of Revelation, hell will be cast itself into the lake of fire. You see? So yes, there is a baptism for the lost people, because that is a real baptism. They are going to be made one with that fire, literally. He will do it, and He alone. So, believer's baptism in water, showing, hopefully, what already happened. Faith and faith alone in Christ alone, which evidenced the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you got at the very moment. All have taken and been baptized into that one-to-one Spirit. All. Not the people that pleaded and begged God to get baptized. No, it was all of us. All the saved have been baptized in the Holy Ghost at the moment of salvation. Otherwise, how could you understand the Word of God? You couldn't. How could you live the Christian way of life? You can't. Because if you could, you'd be doing it on your own works. And then why would you need God? Why would you need Jesus? Why would you need the Word? Why would you need the Holy Ghost anyway? So, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then we also saw the unbeliever's baptism with fire. So which baptism? Which baptism was the title of the sermon? Which baptism tonight are you trusting? Are you trusting in your works? Water baptism? Are you trusting in a faulty interpretation? Baptism of fire is the Holy Ghost. Or the real baptism of the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ by faith alone and Christ alone. You see, you and I are seen spiritually as dead and trespasses in sin. I don't remember a dead person that I've ever seen getting up out of the casket and saying, howdy. You know why? Because the dead can't do nothing. Duh. So therefore, when you're dead spiritually, you're deader than a doornail under the things of God. That's why you've got to have, in order to get salvation, you've got to have the gospel and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost takes the gospel, the seed of the truth of the Word of God, puts it inside you, and now you have a choice. You go, yes, Lord, I believe, or no, Lord, I reject. If you go positive, Holy Ghost comes inside of you, makes you be born again. He regenerates that human spirit inside of you, plugs that word of truth inside of you, and He, the Holy Ghost, not you, not the Pope, not the preacher, He puts you into the body of Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He makes you one with the body of Christ. That's why when Paul, who was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, what did Jesus say? Remember that? When Jesus met him up on the road to Damascus, what did He say? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou the churches? Huh? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what does that mean? Huh? That means that the people that were saved were part of the body of Christ. And when Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was beating them, killing them, murdering them, when he murdered them, he was hitting Jesus. He was hitting the Lord. Because they were part of Him already. Already! It's not that hard to understand, but people out there in the world, they've made it a convoluted heap of mess because of man's teaching. So now that you got so many people out there running around thinking they got to be dunked in water to be saved. Uh-uh. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I mean, folks, my daddy testifies he got saved when he was 5 years old. If a five-year-old come up and said, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I said, all right, how are you going to heaven? Because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's a confession of faith. I say he's a candidate to get baptized. But so many preachers say, well, he don't know really what he's doing. No, here's the problem of what people don't know. Here's what happened. If they get saved, they go to VBS, they get saved when they're six, or they get saved when they're eight, or they're nine. Well, here's what happened. Mom and daddy get lax on the things of God. Then when it comes time for church, oh, I don't reckon we'll go to church tonight. Ain't going to be nobody there. We'll just kick back and watch the football game. Them millionaires got enough money in their pockets, they can all buy them a football and not fight over that one ball. Anyhow, then we get lax on the things of God, and then that little one that come to know Jesus, he don't study and learn the Word of God. Because the Bible says when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. You're a baby. You know what? You got a baby? Leave him alone and see how long he lives. That means you've got to go to the church. You got to get your butt in church. You know why? Because God put some people like me here called a preacher. I don't know why he called me to preach. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And then suddenly he said, preach. I said, you're crazy. And then I found out I was the crazy one. And so I surrendered. I give up being a soil scientist to be this. But see, We get excited. We get up in our teenage years, and then we say, well, you know what? I don't want to do that stuff. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And then that baby in Christ, he don't get no milk. He don't get no meat inside the Word of God. So now he's growing up, and he's a spiritual baby. You know what happens when people grow up, when they're babies, when they're 20 and 30 years old? They're brats. They think they got to have everything their way. And how many splits have churches went through in Rutherford County in the past 100 years? You know why? Because we're chock full of spiritual bloody babies. Because people will not dedicate themselves and be dedicated and faithful to God. Well, all right, so when was the last time you read your Bible? When you were not inside church.
Well, I don't know, preacher. I guess it was last Sunday, last Wednesday.
Okay? Try this on for size, Mr. and Mrs. Baptist. However long you go without reading your Bible, you go without eating. Now, I see I got your attention. How long are you going to last then? Whoo! It's time for second breakfast. Oh, it's time for second supper. It's time for midnight snack. And every time you like to eat, you just plug in some Bible in there too. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said. And that's what grieves my heart. That so many people, I've seen it in almost 16 years as pastor here. I'm only going to be 38 this December. And I've seen probably now 200 people come in this church. And they get under the teaching and preaching of the Bible. They say, oh, this is some good stuff. And then suddenly they just get bored. And away they go. Why? To get entertained. I'm sure. Well, nowadays, that's what people want. That's the falling away the Bible talks about. That's what we looked at in our bulletin. Young people who leave church no longer returning later. That's the national statistic now. Because see, now people want to be scratched. They want to be have their belly rubbed. You know, the Bible talked about having their ears tickled. You know, that's like an old dog. You get that old dog, you get him right there behind that ear. Ooh, he'll love you. He'll love you. Oh, you just get that pleasure right there. And he'll lick your hand. He'll lick you to death. Because he loves you. Because you know that right little spot. That's why some people don't like Preacher Craig. Because Preacher Craig comes up with the Bible. And I preach the truth. I don't care what sin you or I have done. Rubs you the wrong way. You don't need to preach about that. You ain't going to tell me what to preach. That's God's job, not yours. I've had 3 or 4 tries. It didn't last. I'm still here. God called me to be the pastor of this church. That don't mean I'm in charge. It means that the Word of God is what we here at Danieltown uplift. Amen. That's what we're here for. So if I don't like it, I want bells and whistles and everything else. Oh, well, there you go. We're going to go with God. Until God calls us home or shuts us down, either way, we're going to go with God. I hope you learned something tonight. If not, you got something that makes you think about it. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And then I'll shut up, and then we'll go. Tonight, if God's spoken to your heart and tugged on your heartstring, maybe you've been trusting in something to get you to heaven. I'll tell you this, my dearly beloved. I preach like this not because I think I'm better than you. I preach like this because I love every one of you here. You cannot go back in your heart and in your mind to a day that you know and you know and you know. You may not know the year, you may not know the day, you may not know the time, but you've got to know that you know that you know that you had an encounter with Jesus Christ and your life has never been the same. If you cannot say that there's a day when you put your trust and your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Christ, if you cannot claim that tonight, you need to claim it tonight. If you sit here and you say, well, God won't forgive me of my sins, you don't know what all I've done. I don't know, but God does know. And the good thing about God is none of us have sinned so much that He'll turn you away. No one in hell has ever said, I went to Jesus and He turned me away. No one can ever say that. Jesus died that we might live. Tonight, if God's spoken to you about something else, maybe to join the church, maybe to get baptized, maybe to rededicate your life, whatever it may be, if God's dealing with your heart tonight, would you come this evening? Step out in faith and come forward. And say, preacher, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Whatever it is, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come tonight? Whatever it is, you can come to the altar and pray, and you don't have to tell me a thing. I ain't a priest. I'll just pray for you. That's the only way I know how. Anyone tonight?
God dealing with your heart.
Well, beloved, I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Thank you all for being here tonight for this special service of this baptismal service of Brittany and of Brian. Thank you all so much. Y'all come again. If you don't have any church services at your own church, feel free to come darken our door, because we always have service. The preacher don't get a break. He don't want a break. He wants to keep on keeping on with the things of God. You come, come on. Everyone stand if you're able. I know you're able because you got in here walking on two legs, and you'll leave out of here walking on two legs. Debbie, if you'll be so kind, sir, do this.